This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And in lieu of not my beat today, as all the reporters are making their way back from Philly and filing stories and all that kind of stuff, and plus, we know who you want to hear from. You want to hear from that big bearded fella, from Logan Paulson. We want to share with you basically most of our Take Command chat that Logan and I had this morning. I got up early and had to do some stuff. Logan got back late, but we convened around 8 o'clock this morning. You get nice deep baritone morning voices on this podcast. Oh, what a delight. On your drive home in the afternoon. Logan and I just talked about the game. We talked about the fourth down decision. We talked about kind of what's going on with this offense. He had some really keen observations from being on the sideline. If you don't know, Logan does the sidelines for the radio broadcast for the Commanders. So he was there. He was on the sideline, and he saw some things from Philly that just blew him away. So without further ado, starting with the fourth down decision, me and Logan chatting on Take Command.
We're going to start, Logan, talking about the big decision. You know, when the head coach comes to the podium after the game and is like, all right, opening statement, let's talk about the fourth down decision I made. I feel like that's probably a pretty good place for us to start the podcast, too.
Yeah, no, I think it is. It was a very pivotal moment in the game. And obviously, Philly goes down and scores after that. But to me, and I think, you know, we kind of talked about this briefly in the production meeting, like it wasn't about the points. It wasn't about the score. It was just about you needed to keep Philadelphia off the field for as much time as possible. And I know fans are like, oh, that's like unacceptable, whatever. Like, basically, when you watch the defense, they looked so gassed. And they had been just pouring it out for 3.5 quarters. And you needed, as an offense, and this could have happened at any point. Like, this could have happened in the fourth quarter, second quarter, third quarter. You just needed to hold the football to get them some rest, to get them kind of recovered, to get them all on the same page. And it felt like that was that decision. You know, it's fourth and one. You just need to hold the football. And obviously the execution wasn't there or where it needed to be, and leads to points for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of factors that go into this, and that is absolutely one of them. And if you'd like some evidence to support the correctness of Logan Paulson there, Philly goes down and scores 5 plays, 74 yards in under 3 minutes on the next drive. Jaden throws the interception on the first play of the next drive. So you have a tired defense that's starting to fold. And then sure enough, they give up the huge run to Saquon immediately after that 2 plays into the next drive. So like the defense was toast. And I actually wrote down before that series, before the touchdown, like I think it was during the drive that they scored on the drive before. So basically Philly's first touchdown drive, middle of the third or late third quarter into the start of the fourth. Big note on the side of my notes. Defense is tired. You could feel it coming apart. You knew they needed to make a play. And God, man, Quan Martin makes one. He gets that fumble punch out, and yeah. Washington just can't jump on it. Great play by Calcaterra to pick up his tight end buddy, Dallas Goedert, on that fumble. But I think ultimately, I agree with the decision that Quinn made. It's a lot easier to disagree today if you're sitting in this seat, because when you lose, you take the opposite side and everyone's like, yeah, you were wrong because what you did was it clearly they lost. And it's like, yeah, they probably would have lost anyway if you go the other way. And I do think that to make the counter argument just quickly to present both sides, because I don't think it's a 100% call. I think in part because your defense is starting to lose gas, do you just take the points and say like, hey, let's play with a lead? Does that affect the way Philly plays it? I don't want, like, we're already starting to lose momentum. Let's not lose any more by taking a risk here. And I think that to me is the one pull I have the other way, is like, just stay in the lead / retake the lead. You're already starting to lose it a little bit. If you give them that shot of energy, is that your last gasp? And do you really want to put it all right there? I think the counter to that is you're just delaying the inevitable. And I think that probably, seeing how the rest of the game plays out, is probably a pretty strong counter to the counter, if you will.
Yeah, and I, again, like if you said, hey, kick a field goal, I understand that. The thing that gets me is that I do think no matter what happens, Philly's scoring the next drive. Like whatever, wherever we get the football, whether it's after the fourth down, whether it's after a kickoff return, they're going to score. And it just, on the sideline, like walking the bench, like those guys were juiced, they were ready to go, but it was starting to come apart a little bit. And I've been a part of games like that. I've coached games like that at the high school level. I've played in games like that in college, in the NFL, and you just know it. There's something, I don't know if it's momentum, if it's psychology, and everybody on the team knows that that needs to happen. You need the first down there. And when you don't get it, or if you kick a field goal, and you know that kicking the field goal is losing the game too. And I think like that's where I was at. And again, like, I don't know what Dan said in his presser. I missed it, but like, that feeling to me is so familiar that I couldn't ignore it. And if I'm Dan, I'm assuming he felt something similar.
He said that that was kind of the last push he needed to go for it. But even other outside of that, they were prepared for that situation. The number, like their data said, go for it. And, you know, obviously the data, we've talked about this a lot. Like the data says, you know, your win probability goes from here to here. But like, we're still talking about probabilities. There's never a 100%. So sometimes a coach can be like, I'm going to buck the math here because I see something that I don't like based off the situation, personnel, you know, play calls, whatever. And for him in that situation, he agreed with the numbers. He felt like it was pushed even further that direction by the tiredness and all that. And I think when you talk about what it is, I think there's just a level of like physical fitness. And not to say that this team is out of shape in any way. It's just this late bye sucks. Like the bye for them is so late in the season. And at this point, they have been going not just since week one and playing on a short week and the whole deal. They've been going since training camp pretty much nonstop. They gave them like a little mini bye at the end of training camp, let the guys get away for a couple of days. But by and large, like you hit training camp, you grind it out. You know, we all know how much of a training camp or a grind training camp is. You certainly know better than most, certain me or anybody listening, unless we got more former NFL guys listening. And then 11 weeks now of football, and you get to that 11th week on a short week, and it's just hard. And I don't, I thought that could be a factor in the game. And is considering how much sharper they were in the first half than the second, it just becomes a point where you're out of gas. And like, we've all had that in a workout of some kind. And sometimes I think we forget sports are ultimately a very, very tallied, very scored workout. And you get to that point where like, I wanted to do one more rep and I couldn't, my body failed. And I feel like some of that is just like dudes ran out of gas. And I think the offense is maybe a little bit of a different discussion, but defensively they gave it all they had. They played to the level that they're expected to. And that's exhausting. And I don't know what the alternative is other than just hoping that your offense helps you out. And they obviously didn't.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% right. That was something, again, like when you look at the schedule and people talk about late buys, having done that before too, like it's, there's a physical fatigue, but there's also a mental fatigue, which I think shows up a little bit. I think it shows up more with the offense, quite honestly. And it just, it's getting ready to the level of performance required each and every week is very, very taxing. So I do think after watching these last two performances versus the Steelers versus Philadelphia, and obviously credit to those groups, man, like Philly is legit. They're really, really good. The way they match concepts in the back end is really quite incredible. Like you talk about like kind of the archetype of matching concepts in a quarters match defense, and it doesn't get much better than that. Pressing the pocket with four rushers, like they did a great job of that. But and same thing with Pittsburgh, they deserve, those defenses deserve credit. But I do think there is a element of fatigue, especially with a younger roster, guys doing this for the first time, your quarterback's doing it for the first time, he's a little banged up, like the psychology of going out and doing it again and doing it again is a little bit overwhelming. And I think this kind of pseudo bye coming off the Thursday night game is going to be so important just to kind of refresh mentally. Because I remember we had in 2000, I think it was 12 or 13, we had a late bye. And it just, you just were so physically retired, but everyone's physically tired. It was the mental element that, and I think that's showing up for me a little bit when I watch, when I watch the offense specifically.
Yeah. And just, you know, it's worth noting the next three games are not exactly, as hard as the last two. Now, they're NFL teams. They're going to present challenges. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the reality is the Cowboys without Dak Prescott and they currently feel like they're spiraling, and you got 10 days to prepare for them. Then you're at New Orleans, which is always a tougher place to play, and we'll see how they play in their second game this weekend with the new head coach and all of that. But like they've been pretty nightmarish this season. Then you have Tennessee, and then you have New Orleans. So you got two home games, Dallas, Tennessee, and then you have a bye, and then you're at New Orleans. So you have a chance to get right here before finishing with Eagles, Falcons, Cowboys. And, you know, that's great. But I think the questions about beating good teams and all that kind of stuff, they're going to be there unless you go beat Philadelphia at home on December 22nd. And you know what? If you don't beat any good teams in the regular season and you still make the playoffs anyway and you win a playoff game, nobody will care. So, you know, that narrative is what it is. But I do think it's worth pointing out just something that I kind of wrote down as we talk about the offense here. The lack of talent to me that we kind of said, hey, coming into this year, this is year one of a rebuild. We know Adam Peters is going to build this roster over time. And there's been guys that have been playing out over their skis and they, you know, these guys are trying hard. This is not a matter of effort. But the lack of talent means that everything that they create has to kind of be schemed up. And I am curious what you feel about how they are, like, are they kind of just running out of stuff? Like, are teams onto them? Is this, you know, is this kind of the thing that has happened to Cliff in other places? You know, the details don't seem to be as sharp, or is this kind of the fatigue and other factors maybe that you think are going into this dip in offensive performance over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably both, you know, to kind of sit the fence there. I think obviously Philadelphia is, I think, the most talented physically defense that we've played all year. And they're starting to kind of figure it out in terms of roles, matchups, things like that. I mean, Craig, I got to watch a little bit on the plane on the return flight, and the quickness that this group just covered zones. It was like almost unbelievable. And you put Jaden into kind of a tough spot where he's got to make a perfect throw under a little bit of duress. And I think guys played hard. They played physical, but it just wasn't there. You know, you kind of say, oh, we got to run the football, get him out of their two high looks. And Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter were like, no, man, like, welcome to our world here. So I do think there was a little bit of that going on. I do think people probably have a better feel. I mean, it's week, what is it, week 10 or 11?
It's week 11, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's week 11, and people get a feel for what you're doing. Like, I've been, you know, Kyle Shanahan, I think, is regarded as one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL. He goes through spats like that. Mike McDaniel, Sean McVay, everyone has these moments where a good team kind of figures you out. And so I don't know if that necessarily means the whole NFL has figured you out. Because I think you look at Pittsburgh, they had a solution that was a little bit different than Philly, right? In terms of, like, we're going to bring pressure, we're going to play a lot of man. Philly didn't really do that. They were like, we're going to play our defense. And so I just think it's, as you play more talented teams, stuff becomes really hard. Like, I remember when I was in Atlanta, we were a very, very good offense and we were kind of rolling, and we played Baltimore. And Baltimore just kind of took us out behind the woodshed and was like, just beat the crap out of us, you know, because they were a more physically gifted, more talented defense. And we just couldn't compete. We weren't ready for it. And I think, there's a lot of stuff that you can look at and say the Commanders can do better. But I think you also got to give credit to that Philadelphia group, man. Like, they just did a great job. So, and again, this is where that this kind of pseudo buy becomes so, so critical, is it just allows you to do a little self-scout, allows you to kind of get healthy, allows you to mentally refresh. And so in terms of this context, like, that self-scout becomes extremely important. Like, how do we kind of take the stuff that we do and take the stuff that we did in training camp, put a little window dressing on it just to maximize what we're doing moving forward? And I think that's something that I think is going to be really, really helpful for the offense going into the last half of the season.
Yeah, they've got to. Because some of the stuff that they – like, the lack of easy stuff in this game until the very end, that last drive, they started to get a couple quick game. But in general, like, I mean, can you find ways to get some of these quick looks to the backs and to the tight ends, to your receivers who are more dynamic playmakers? Like, there's things like that Cliff was really good at and they were able to do at times in stretches earlier in the season that they're not quite able to do right now. And we'll probably have some deeper answers for some of that stuff on the tape show on Tuesday. But in the meantime, I think there's two other, like, big things that we should talk about on the offense on my list anyway. And obviously feel free to add anything that you want to, but the running game, I think, was effective in wide swaths of this game, but it's hard to be consistent running the football because you get one, you know, it's what we talked about with the Commanders defense. Like you get one stuff. Now all of a sudden you're in second and 12 and the whole situation changes. Even if you got three straight first downs and picked up 30 yards to get there. But it does feel like the run game is clunkier than it was earlier in the year. Like they were so detailed, everything timing wise, combinations, they were just hitting everything. Is this, again, is our teams figuring it out, maybe doing some different stuff, line stunts, whatever, lack of practice time? Like these dudes are almost all of them are banged up. And so They're just not performing as well. Like, is there anything in particular to you that stands out about that before we talk about Daniels and where he's at?
Well, I will say good players make you look clunky. And Jalen Carter is a good player. Like, so one of the things about like all this pin pull stuff that they do is it creates a lot of individual blocks, which hasn't really nipped them in the butt, quite honestly, this year. Like, they've been really good at blocking back, and, you know, like they've played some really good interior players this year. And I think just Jalen Carter, like, you know, one of the best runs that this team has is that center guard or guard pull to the perimeter. And I, you know, obviously I call that bounce. At least that's like the language I'm familiar with, whatever they call it. I don't know. But the thing that kills that is if you pick off the pullers, right? Cause you lose hats to the front side. So when Biotis is trying to block back, and he's been excellent at that all year, and Jalen Carter just rips up the field and picks off the guard, there's literally two free hats to the front side of the run. So I don't care how good you've executed it to this point. Like, you can't physically move an offensive lineman through a defensive tackle's body to get him to the front side of the play. And like, that just speaks to how talented that kid is. Like, he really is like a very, very talented football player. And he's different. He's different than the guys we've seen so far. We've seen Dexter Lawrence, who doesn't do that. Cam Hayward doesn't do that. And this guy presented a very unique challenge. And I think, you know, Bond and Dean were really tremendous moving at the second level. And, you know, I got to give credit to Jordan Davis too, man. That guy was a problem inside. So it just was a different type of problem, a different type of talent. And I do think, obviously, like something that cannot be overstated is like those guys are really pouring it out. You know, like they are banged up. They're all hurt and they're competing. And I've had a lot of injuries late in the season. You talk to Fletch about it. And as much as you want to think you're 100%, like you're not. You don't have the same pop. You don't have the same snap. You can't grab the same way. Your elbow's messed up. Like, it's a cumulative effect of the year, right? It's a cumulative effect of the stress. And every team's going through it. But again, we go back to why this kind of mini bye is so important. It just mentally and physically freshens you up. And I'm not sure they beat this team if they're at 100%. I have no idea, but I definitely think the showing's a little bit better. Just because, like, that is a uber-talented football team. Like, I mean, at every level of the defense, they've just got speed. They know what they're doing. Same thing offensively. Like, offensively, they're kind of sloppy. They're kind of messy. But there's just this inevitability to them because they are so talented. And I think, like I said, I don't know if they win this game if they're at 100%, but I definitely think it's a little bit more consistent, to your point. And they probably have something a little bit better performance.
Yeah, no, I think there's no doubt about that. And, you know, talk about the interior of that line and Carter and Davis and all those guys. I think it's worth mentioning, going back to where we started with the fourth down discussion, that's a fourth and two after they were in second and one.
Yeah.
Right? They got 9 yards on that first down. They're rolling that drive. And they try to sneak B-Rob up the middle real quick. He gets stuffed. They try again on third down, and then they go for it again on fourth. So you're talking about needing 1 yard on three downs, and you try to run it up the gut, which has been your strength all year with Biotis and Cosme and Allegretti in the middle of that defense, Wiley blocking down, all that stuff. And you can't get it because Jalen Carter's a menace. And, you know, Brandon Graham's flying in from the outside and is in on one of those stops. Bond is coming down and making plays. So, you know, it's never just one play. And that sequence, I think, is a really great example of it because they were kind of rolling on that drive. And all of a sudden, they, instead of continuing with some of the play action and stuff that they did, and I'm sure Cliff is kicking himself, and I don't even know if he should be, because, like, of course you should be able to pick up 1 or 2 yards with Brian Robinson. You've been able to do it all day. And the Eagles just stepped up and made plays. The last thing that I have on my notes is the quarterback. Jaden does not look the same since the rib injury. That also feels like it could just be a regression to the mean, because he was completing an absolutely absurd percentage of his passes beforehand. And no kidding, he's not doing that anymore. But I think the eye test says there's something that is not quite right here. And actually, I can pull this up real quick. Bill Barnwell from ESPN put out some numbers. Since the or before the rib injury, on intermediate balls, 10 to 19 yards in the air, 27 of 35 for 425 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, 16.2% completion percentage over expected. After 11 of 21, 174 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, he's dropped 50 points in passer rating, and he's minus 13.5% completion percentage over expected. So the numbers say it's not good. The eye test, like the ball that he puts at Noah Brown's feet, just doesn't step into it, doesn't deliver it with any kind of confidence. I mean, I would level of concern. Like, what's going on here with Jaden? And this is something that, again, the mini buy, a freshen up, we think it can fix it.
Yeah. So he's played four games since the rib injury, right? Is that correct? I'm trying to
Chicago.
Yeah.
Three.
New York.
Chicago. Yeah. New York, Chicago, Steelers. New York, Pittsburgh, Philly. Yeah.
And so what I will say about that, and I understand that, you know, it's an injury, and rib injuries, like, I've had them. They're no fun. They're no fun for me blocking. I can't imagine what it's like to throw a football. So, you know, like, but what I will say is I thought he played well against Chicago. I thought he played really well against the New York Giants. And I think the difference is the type of defense that he's playing in terms of Pittsburgh and Philly. And it's not that they're just good. It's like the way that they are good. And the thing that I see when I watch them, we got to watch the film. We'll be able to talk about this more in detail on Tuesday, is they're really good. We talked about Pittsburgh, how good they are about pressing the pocket internally. You know who else is good at that? Philly. And so when you watch him, how he is throwing the football in those situations, he's kind of backing up, kind of feathering away from the throw. And when he feathers away, he's not this guy that generates this tremendous arm torque. It's a full body throw for him. So when you're a little bit off with your feet, when you're kind of feathering away, like that ball, it happens all the time. It just tails away. And so I'm sure that a factor in that is the rib, but I also think the style of defense is significant, right? When you can press them, and every quarterback experiences this. This isn't just like a Jaden thing. It's every quarterback has a really hard time with internal pressure. I know the edge rushers, the defensive ends get all the headlines, right? They're defensive player of the year. But when you look at really good defenses, you know, like I think about Kansas City right now and Chris Jones, their ability to compress the pocket right now and prevent the quarterback from stepping in and seeing throwing lanes is significant. And I think you're seeing a significant, like the reason there has been this, you know, quote unquote regression is because the style of defense that they're playing more to me than anything. Cause I look at the Giants game and I honestly thought that was one of his better games of the year, you know, the second New York Giants game, and he's got the rib injury there, you know? And so is the rib injury playing a factor in terms of him not wanting to take a hit? Yeah, I think so. But I think both these groups that he's played, I think that's probably more significant than the injury potentially. And you have to, and again, this is all speculation on my part. I just got to say that you have to talk to him about it. But like, that's just to my observation.
Yeah. For whatever it's worth, like he is saying that he's fine. Dan is saying like, you know, the Chicago game. Yeah. We were conservative with him and it was affecting him. But basically since then, it's just gotten better and he's good. To me, it does feel much more the defenses and the confidence. It's just, and like, there's just not the confidence and like the assertiveness that he had earlier in the season throwing the football with his decision making. It feels a little more guessy, feels a little more rookie. And that's okay. Like, that doesn't change how I feel about Jaden Daniels. It just is the current state of things. And he was bound to have a stretch like this. And if he comes out of the mini bye and is back on fire again, then we'll be like, okay, he learned some lessons in the middle of the season. He had a couple of down games. You know, that pick that he throws is only his third of the year. He gave him a chance, and hopefully he can regain some of the scrambling magic and some of the other stuff, the big explosive plays down the field that he had earlier in the season. But I think the tape will tell the tale here too, in terms of what kind of opportunities may have been there or were not. I don't think there were probably a lot of them. So it's something that definitely is worth noting, definitely worth studying, but yeah. I don't know that I feel that much differently at this point long-term, even the long-term of this season, nevertheless, long-term about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and even when you look at the Pittsburgh game, like we talked about that in the review pod, like there was a ton of opportunities, right? Ton of drop passes, ton of just slightly errant throws. So this game, the Philly game, felt like something completely different to me than we've seen even from like in Pittsburgh. I came out of there like, yeah, you know, he's a little off. That's a good defense. It's a better rush. Like, it's going to be a little errant. This was something completely different in terms of what he was seeing. And it was something, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but I remember talking to Bram about it before we were prepping the show. And I was like, either this goes really well for Jaden because he sees the zones really well, or it's a nightmare because Vic Fangio, that's the thing that makes the defense so hard. That's the reason Kyle Shanahan found, or Sean McVay found a Vic Fangio disciple. That's the reason Mike McDaniel hired him in Miami as the defensive coordinator, is to understand better what this scheme does, because it puts quarterbacks mentally in a blender and they don't know, like, cause like, think about it, you know, think about your old Madden stuff, right? It's like, oh, here's your quarters. Here's your three, here's your four circles across right. The back. Here's your four underneath players. They don't play that. It's like, we are in quarters, but we're actually matching this. So even though it feels like quarters and there's quarters principles here, it's going to play like man, but we're passing off stuff in between. So I'm ready to rip a slant. This happened in the game, actually. He's ready to rip a slant to Terry, and the defensive end just drops right underneath the throwing window. So it's like, I got to pull it down, and then I'm frantically looking, and they've matched the spacing concept because that's terrible versus zone. And so that happened over and over and over again in this game. And that's why this defense for a long time was kind of the penultimate defense for the NFL. So to me, this is a different animal, and especially given the execution those guys had. I mean, like, I only watched probably 20 plays on the plane, but I came away being like, I've never seen a defense match stuff this assertively. And obviously you watch them versus Dallas and you're like, maybe that's because Dallas is bad. But to see them live and in living color do that, you got to give credit to that group. And I think it's good you get them now. You got a long time before the next game because you can kind of build up the repertoire and kind of get back to saying, this is what it's going to take to beat that team. But to me, it's like the Jaden Daniels thing. I think this is the first game where he's looked like a rookie to me. And even against Pittsburgh, which was not his best game, he was making throws and finding opportunities in a way that this game just wasn't there. And hopefully it's just because you got to say, hey, Philly got him. And that's okay, because sometimes that happens.
All right, that is Logan Paulson and I on Take Command this morning. For the rest of the podcast, there's a little bit more that we did not share with you. You can check out Take Command wherever you want to this weekend on your favorite podcast app. And coming up next, Anthony and I are going to debate the fourth down decision that started that discussion, because Anthony and I disagree on that. He is team, they should have kicked the field goal. I am team, they did the right thing, even though they lost. We will debate next here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. If you're watching, you see the different backgrounds because I'm down in Richmond running the Richmond Half Marathon tomorrow. Wife's running the full. She's a superhero. I'm just merely a guy who's going to run half as far. But that's what we're doing. That's why I'm here. But happy to be here. Always appreciate all the hospitality down in the RVA. All right, Anthony, let's get into it. I'm going to full transparency here, especially after I just let everybody know where I'm at and why. So because we're running this weekend, I did not stay up and watch the game live last night. We went to bed at halftime, and then I got up very early this morning, in part because we have to get up very early tomorrow morning for the race. And so I woke up, I left my phone where it was, and emotionally I was live. Because I flipped on the second half of the game. I watched the television broadcast. I actually was watching a lot of the Prime Vision because I felt like I could actually see the game better. But emotionally, like, I'm in it in the same way that anybody watching the game was. I did not know the score until about 3 minutes left in the game. Rachel had looked at her phone, and I looked at her and was like, am I about to see the greatest comeback ever, or are they the Eagles won? And she's like, do you really want me to tell you? I was like, yeah. She's like, the Eagles won. I was like, okay. Thanks for sharing.
You're better than me.
Why? Did you
I would have waited to find out what happened.
I was very frustrated watching the game at that point. So I was just like,
that's fair.
Let's do it. And that was well after Dan Quinn had decided on a fourth down, fourth and two, to go for it. A controversial decision, something that Dan knew at the time was going to be controversial, and it's controversial when you don't make it. Because if you kick the field goal and you make it, sometimes that winds up to bite you. If you get the fourth down and you go for it and you make it, nobody ever says anything. You go for the fourth down and it's the first time all year that you don't get it, and then people are going to have something to say. So I woke up to texts from you saying kick the field goal. Or once I went back upstairs, got my phone, and the only texts I had were from Anthony, where they were basically saying kick the field goal. This is so dumb. You've now had some time to think about it. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard Logan talk about it. Do you still think that Dan Quinn made a mistake?
I still do think Dan Quinn made a mistake. And I think if you look at the flow of the game where the offense wasn't performing well, the defense was doing well. And I think, you know, you and Logan did make a good point. Like, it might have been, you know, spiraling a little bit. They might have been gassed. All right, they were gassed, I guess. So it wasn't looking good. You know, the previous two drives, they did give up two scoring possessions. But my thing is, the offense wasn't looking good, and Zane Gonzalez also has shown that, you know, he's a worthy, you know, kicker. Like, he's done well for us. I was more so just take the points right now. It'll still be a one-score game. If they go out and score, guess what? It'll still be a one-score game. But when you don't convert on the fourth down, they go down and score. Now there's a two-possession game, and it's just like, bro, why not just take the points? And this could have still been a one-possession game. Also, I was still confident in the defense. They had just given up.
That's
two.
Where you're wrong. Okay. See, that's, all right. That's
you're
100%.
Not confident. I was confident in them. I was confident in them, baby.
Your confidence doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
When you have, like, just look at it, man. Like, okay. I wrote down at basically the final. So 2:27 is the final drive of the third quarter. Is when it starts for Philadelphia, okay? In my heebie-jeebie of notes here. That drive starts with Saquon Barkley getting 9 yards. Starts with it. They get a screen for the first down. They then have absolutely no rush on a play where A.J. Brown gets 17 yards on a second reaction throw. They get away with the Luvu face mask. Payne gets a TFL, and then Hurts scrambles. They're toast at that point. Toast. And
this is after the miss conversion. Is this what you're saying? Or this is before the miss conversion?
This is
This is
the drive right before the miss conversion.
Okay.
All right. Yep. By the way, Ant, if you could the YouTube stream can't hear your audio right now, if you have a chance to pop that back. I'm not sure why exactly that's not happening, but we'll see if we can get that straightened out, pop a button, and then hopefully it'll get fixed. But So Barkley is like gashing him early in that drive. Their pass rush is dying, and then that's in that drive is when you have the Gainwell 14 yards back to back to back plays, right? And then they punch it in. The next drive, Washington starts moving the ball a little bit, right? They have Bates for 9. That was kind of the drive where they were like, all right, we're just going to either run it or play action to tight end.
Yeah.
But the problem is they get on a 2nd and 1 after they finally hit Terry on that comeback. Like, he gets involved.
Yep.
And then Bates has a playoff play action again. B-Rob gets stuffed. It's 3rd and 1. B-Rob stuffed again. And then the 4th down's a mess. You've already seen the defense is tired to that point. And you have to just, the way Logan put it, he's like, I don't even care if you score. Just, you have to stay on the field. You need another 3 downs. You needed time. I think they needed to score. And so the idea that they go for it when that is who they've been all year, they've been a team that has been good on 4th down. They are, you know, 30, or like it's going to be like a 30 something yard field goal. Okay, fine. But going up 1 point there is not going to be enough. I think the if you want to make a counter argument on momentum, I guess, but like the momentum isn't going to save you. You need points, and you need your like. I guess the simplest version of this argument, Anthony, is this: at some point, the offense was going to have to do something.
Okay.
And whether it was there or the next drive, they had to do something. That was a pretty good time. The problem wasn't the defense. The problem was the offense. The offense's problem became the defense's problem, and thus the offense. It was on them to fix it.
Maybe. I hated the play call. Maybe that's really
what even was the play call? Jaden Bumble's a stat. We don't even know.
But Craig, they hustled. They hurried up. I felt the play was rushed. To be honest, like we get stuffed on the third and one, and then they're like, "Hurry up, hurry up!" Everybody get back to the line, and then they, I guess, they had a second play. But I don't know. I think I just hated the play call. The execution was also really bad. All of it was bad. Take the points. I don't know, man.
I think we can't get caught up between execution and like decision.
Yeah.
You can have a good decision that winds up being a bad play call. By the way, I'm now watching the play. Let me see if I can figure out what the hell was supposed to happen. Certainly not that.
I think they just covered it well too, though.
Any more hints? We got three tight ends in the game. We got some motion. We got a counteraction. I mean, what happens to start? One, Jaden bobbles a snap. Two, Jalen Carter is in the backfield.
As soon as he touches the ball.
Like, I think the snap might have gotten part messed up by Biotish, but due to the fact that literally the second, as fast as I can hit pause on this play, Tyler Biotish is being thrown aside by Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
And then he has to run away. B-Rob, I will say, is looking back at Jaden as if to say, wait, I was supposed to get that football. And then now everyone's just trying to block, trying to save it. Nothing there. So they have to execute.
Man.
And there's no, like, because here's the thing. Like, the game, it's not like it's 1 point at the end of the game, right? There's still a full quarter basically to go. Your defense is going to have to get a stop. And being up by one there is not going to save you. You need the points. You need the separation. And at the end of the day, like the offense needed to stay on the field to give the defense a chance to get the stop. And they didn't.
That's
so fair. I just think that at that point, the defense is going, they're letting go of the rope. They're not because they're giving up their fight. But they've been on that dead hang for long enough, and they're just going to fall off the bar.
Yeah,
I mix my metaphors there of a pull up dead hang and a rope, but you get the point.
No, I do. I don't know. I still feel how I feel.
You feel how you feel because they lost.
Yeah,
and it's a lot easier to feel the way you feel when you lost. It's a lot harder to make the argument when it's like the counterfactual. But at the end of the day, like, they were going to lose that football. Like, if they kick the field goal, they're just as likely to lose based off of what we saw transpire the rest of the game. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. The quickest trip around the NFL we have ever done next. And then coming up at 6 o'clock, it's our pick six at 6. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Back to Commanders and Eagles, our pick six coming up at 6 o'clock. And then we will check in with Dave Johnson ahead of Hawks and Wizards. Hey, Anthony, the Hawks are playing, or the Wizards are playing the Hawks tonight. That means they can win.
We can.
Hey, now.
That's two, is that 2 hour
win over the Hawks this season?
Yeah.
They currently have 2 wins. All right. Right now, though, it is time to go around the NFL. We pick every single game. Some of these are going to be just the pick because we are incredibly short on time here as we get going. So without further ado, by the way, we did both pick the Eagles. So, you know, at least we were right. So we're 1-0 going into it. Packers and Bears, Anthony. Packers are 5.5-point favorites. This is a huge game for Chicago. Do they get the coordinator bump? I think this is also kind of a huge game for Green Bay. Like, if you're serious, go put Chicago out of its misery. Jordan Love, can you throw the ball to the right team against what is still a good Chicago defense? They're getting some of their pieces back. Kyler Gordon is back in this game. Montez Sweat back in this game. I'm still going to take Green Bay, though, although I do think Chicago might show some signs of life.
Yeah, I'm taking Green Bay as well. I think it'll be a closer game than expected. Bears got a lot to play for.
the Jags and Lions. This is one of the biggest spreads you'll ever see in an NFL game. It is a 14-point Lions spread. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
Vikings, Titans. Sam Darnold regressing to the mean. He's got 10 picks on the season. 10. By the way, probably going to wind up having to watch some of this game. Because the Titans play the Commanders in a couple weeks, so I'll be curious to see how this plays out. But 1, 2, 3.
Vikings.
Raiders and Dolphins. 1, 2, 3.
Dolphins.
Rams at Patriots. Rams only 4.5-point favorites after the loss on Monday night. Drake May continues to be worth watching Patriots games. Did they find something defensively, or did they just play the Bears?
I think they just played the Bears.
I tend to agree with that. Stafford, as long as that dude takes care of the football, they'll be all right. I'm taking the Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams as well. With the Rams.
On principle, we are not talking about this game. We might pick different teams. I don't know, but we're not talking about this game. It is Browns and Saints.
Ew.
1, 2, 3. Browns?
Browns?
Sure.
All right.
Colts. No, that's it. We're not talking about that game. That game's gross. That game is disgusting. That game deserves none of our attention, certainly not when we have like Ravens Steelers coming up. Yeah. Speaking of games that are disgusting and don't deserve our attention, Colts and Jets. 1, 2, 3.
Colts.
Why? Because screw the Jets. Ravens and Steelers. This game we talk about. I am so fascinated by this game because I think Pittsburgh genuinely has played as one of the best defenses in the NFL over the last month or so. Obviously, we saw what they did to Washington up close. I think at its peak, this Baltimore offense is as good as anyone. And it really can be some strength-on-strength kind of stuff. A speed or a powerful Ravens offense with Derrick Henry, with the speed element with Lamar, against a incredibly powerful Steelers front that also has a ton of speed behind it. And that's what I think is interesting. You have the familiarity as well. I'm going to pick Baltimore in this game because I think overall they're the better team. But I do think like these are two of the best four teams in the AFC, probably five teams in the AFC. And they just happen to play in the same division and first place is on the line.
Yeah, Craig. So I told you the other day, Lamar rarely ever beats the Steelers. He is actually 2-4 against them in his career. And I think that continues this week. I'm going with the Steelers to pull off the upset. I think the Ravens are the better team, but I think the Steelers are rolling, man. They're rolling.
They are. That, by the way, is a 1 o'clock game on CBS. It is in Pittsburgh, and Ian Eagle is calling that game. He joined us earlier in the show after calling the game on the radio last night. If you missed that, rewind in the Odyssey app to the 4 o'clock hour or check it out on the podcast. Falcons and Broncos. Low-key fun game, Anthony. Like, I don't like having to pick this game because I really don't know what I'm going to get from either of these teams and on any given week. And because of that, I think I've kind of dumped on this game a couple times this week. But then I like took a step back and was like, wait a second. Forget your pick. This could be a really fun football game.
I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think I'm going to do something that I haven't done all year, and that's pick the Broncos to win this game.
Oh.
I really like what Sean Payton is doing with Bo Nix over there. He's playing better. I'm not going to say he's the greatest thing in sliced bread.
He's not.
But he looks like a solid quarterback, and he'll be one for years to come. So I'm going with the Broncos and that defense, man. That defense is nasty.
It's exactly what they want you to think. And then Bo Nix will turn back into a pumpkin, and he'll play awful, and Kirk will look like he belongs in the Hall of Fame for a week, and then he'll turn back into a pumpkin. I'm just betting on the fact that it's the Falcons' turn to not be a pumpkin. I'm going to take Atlanta. No good reason other than it's randomness and just when you feel like you have a vibe for either of these two teams, the opposite thing happens. All right, continuing on down the list, Seahawks-Niners this weekend. Niners are 6.5-point favorites. I think the most interesting thing in this game is like, can McCaffrey get back on track? Obviously, he was back last week, but it wasn't as big of a factor. Seahawks they're just a weird team, man. I don't know what to make of them on a weekly basis. I'm picking the Niners. I think they're the better team.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Niners as well. George Kittle, though, is questionable with a hamstring injury. That is something to monitor.
For sure. Chiefs and Bills. Other than the Ravens-Steelers game of the weekend here, although Bengals-Chargers Sunday night is actually pretty good as well. Is this where the Chiefs' undefeated season goes to die?
I thought it was, but I can't pick against Patty Mahomes. I'm going with the Chiefs, baby.
It's funny because we did the first impression selection show this week. Talked to Tony, and Tony goes, wait, I can pick Pat Mahomes and get points? Sick. Sign me up. And so when you put it that way, it's like, yeah, if I'm gambling on this game, I'd probably pick the Chiefs, although I'm picking Buffalo because I just think Buffalo is like Buffalo has played Kansas City tough every time they play pretty much.
Yeah.
There's all these weird calls at the end. Like Pat does, you know, gets a scramble down the sidelines and then it's sealed with a, you know, a push out of bounds, like correct calls and everything. But they always just find a way. And the couple times they haven't, it's been in the regular season. Playoffs, they always find a way. And I just don't think this Chiefs team is playing well enough. I'm kind of playing the averages here that they're not an actual, like, undefeated caliber team. And so I'm going to take Buffalo in this one.
Hey, Dalton Kincaid is also out of this game. So
hurts, but, like, doesn't change my opinion.
All right, just letting you know.
In part because my opinion's based on vibes. Bengals and Chargers. Chargers, 1.5-point favorites at home. This is one of the Chargers' toughest tests as of late. Like, they've been playing really good football. But they've also played, I mean, their schedule is full of just duds. This season, they have played the Raiders, the Panthers, the Saints, the Browns, and the Titans.
Wow.
It's a lot of bad, bad teams that they've beaten up on. They lost to the Cardinals, they lost to the Chiefs, they lost to the Steelers. They beat the Broncos. In many ways, like, the Chargers are the AFC's Commanders.
Yeah.
Where, like,
it sounds like,
you know, Washington beat Arizona. That's a good win. That people can get mad about, but, like, that's a good win. They beat Cincinnati. Well, we'll see if Los Angeles can beat Cincinnati. They get T. Higgins back. That's enough for me to say, Cincinnati keeps on rolling offensively. I'm going to take the Bengals in the upset here.
I think I'm going to go with the Bengals as well. I think a lot of people have been challenging the Bengals defense to finally step up. I think this is the week they do it. They're going to have to stop that run attack by the Chargers, though.
That is going to be very tough. And last but not least, Monday Night Football this week. Texans, Cowboys. 1, 2, 3.
Texans.
All right. That's our very quick trip around the NFL. We'll see how we did coming up next week. When we get back, we identified 6 players yesterday that we thought would help shape the outcome in Commanders and Eagles. We see how we did and how those players played next on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.